The Fair of Kings podcast. I'm your host, Saul Thompson. Thank you for watching or listening. You can find me on Instagram at Saul Thompson. I'm joined this week by my co-host
Leo.
Yeah, Leo's tweaking out trying to get to Oscar's toy. Oscar's Michael's cat.
Michael Smith. You can find me on Instagram if you try hard and believe in yourself.
Anything is achievable through the power of the indomitable human spirit. Anyway, how are you, Michael? What's been new with you? Any fun updates?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You have fun updates. Give me a fun update. Go on.
I walked in a runway show. It was really wonderful. I had a great time.
Saul was serving.
Yo, I was just... All right, so I'll first... So I walked in the Fugazi runway show. It was very nice. I really appreciate Trevor and Nick. They were the ones who invited me to do it. I showed up. It was... honestly, very, very professional. Venue was beautiful. They set it up very well. Makeup team was great. Photo team was great. Models were great. Everybody was super nice. I, you know, somewhat surprised to see how... Oh, Leo's bumped our camera. We're sorry that we're shaking. But surprised to see how it all came together so well. And I had a great time. I mean, it was something that I have wanted to do for a while. Obviously, was... hesitant to put myself out there like that, but I had a great time. I think I did well. And then there's
you know you did well. You spent the rest of the night staring at the picture of yourself. We went out the night that Saul walked, and every 5 minutes he would open his phone and look at the fucking runway
because I look good. Do you okay? So how many photos do you have of yourself that you're like, holy shit, like I'm a little bit hot, right? Like
all of them, baby. No, I'm kidding. But I know I get it. Like I get it. It's really funny because if you look at those pictures, you're really like serious, like serving. Yeah. But if you look at you and like if you watched yourself doing it, you look like you're really trying not to like look at anyone. You're like,
I wasn't that bad. Was I really?
No, it's just,
okay. Fuck.
It's just funny, like. I think especially when you walked past us, it
was
like...
Oh, okay, yeah. So at the end of the show, all the models walked out and we all stopped in this big circle for, what, a minute?
Yeah.
A minute and a half. And I was standing where my eye line went maybe 5 feet directly to the right of Michael, Fiona, and my best friend Lindsay. And I knew that if I made contact with any one of the three of them, I would have started fucking dying laughing. Not to mention... they had me in like a lined jacket, and shout out to the Fugazi team, like very well-made jacket. It's thick, it's blanket lined, but you also have to understand it's 70 something degrees in this courthouse and I'm wearing a thick jacket for an hour and a half straight. So backstage I had my shirt off, but when I was walking, fucking boiling. Leo, you got to stop. Sorry. He's shaking the camera and everything, but he will find that. You can't put something in a burrow for a dachshund. Put it on the table. Anyway, so I'm wearing like a lined thick jacket and I am so sweaty. And full disclosure, I hope nobody gets that jacket as like a runway sample because it smells like shit at this point. It is so gross. And I smelled myself after
that
the show.
Stink.
Dude, armpits were disgusting. There was sweat pouring off of my back. And that's what I wanted to get to. On the runway, there was a huge bead of sweat coming down my back and it went down sort of like between my cheeks. And I was trying not to laugh because it like kind of tickled. And I was like, this is so ridiculous. Like I can't start laughing at this point. But I didn't. And I there's that one video that Michael has where I'm just like, thought, you know, like empty your mind, like clear pool of water, like, you know, do not fucking laugh. Don't make eye contact with your friends. Don't think about the sweat in your ass crack. Just like lock in, bro. Like Face ID's fucking up.
I picture you shaking. You're kind of.
Oh, the other thing that I was laughing about is like, you know, I did the mewing thing, right? Like I put my tongue in the roof of my mouth.
Oh, is that why you look like that?
Yeah. So there's that. And I was trying it, like, it gets stressful because I was doing it kind of hard, especially because I was trying to keep my face relaxed.
Damn, you're really clenching your shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It was clenched up. But Jesus Christ, Leo. I can always put him in his hoodie too if we're trying to disable the Leo crazy factor. But yeah, no. So I was mewing super hard, and then I was thinking on the runway, like, I'm so Kenthal Tilt, Bone Smash Max, like, try not to laugh. Like, the shit that goes through your head is crazy. Yeah. When you're trying not to think about anything, it's the same thing. Like, what? You're in high school, and the teacher's like, everybody be serious, and you lock eyes with your friend across the room.
You're like,
yeah, right? So trying to stay as serious as possible. And I think I did well. I mean, the photo turned out great. Leo, stay on the couch, buddy. He gets very excited. It's very funny that Leo likes cats as much as he does, and I think Oscar is mostly to thank for that. But no, it was a really fun experience. Thank you to the team. Thank you for making me look good. You know, I was gonna pull out the Rick runway thing where the model had the little sign, then Rick punched him.
Yeah. Do you think Trevor would have punched you?
Trevor, he is shockingly tall. Like I've had, you know, Trevor was the oomphie. We had him on the podcast and I didn't realize in clock how tall he is. He's like 6'5", like 6'6". He looks super fucking tall in person.
Tall boy.
And he is tall. I don't know. I don't know if Trevor would have cold clocked me, but I don't know. I'm a big proponent. That wasn't my moment. That was his moment. I'm just there as a glorified coat hanger with a Kenthal Tilt, bone smashed.
Bones
Hunter
maxing.
Eye, Bone Max, Mew. What are the other ones?
Riz God.
Yeah, I was edging for 4 hours.
Yeah.
I had to Aura Max.
Livy Dunn.
Yeah, Baby Gronk.
Baby Gronk.
Ohio.
Baby Gronk, Ohio.
Leo, you gotta stop hitting the tripod.
God, Leo.
We apologize. So if you're watching this, thank you. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. We'll be coming out with more consistent videos or a consistent video schedule next season, which will resume after my winter break, probably in late January. So we'll take about a month off. And if you're listening, thank you so much for listening on your favorite streaming platform. Don't forget to follow the podcast and leave us a favorable review if you enjoy it. Actually, leave us a dog shit review if you hate it. That's also fine.
Yeah, go on. Yeah. Make it 5 stars, but tell us how much we suck.
Yo. That's a good point. If you'd like to join the Discord, leave a 5-star review. Take a screenshot and send this to us, obviously. Hey. Leave a 5-star review, but drop like the, not the meanest thing, but be a little snarky and be a little funny. And if you send us a screenshot, I'll repost it to the story. That'll be funny. Yeah. And then you can also join our Discord, which we've lovingly dubbed the happiest place in fashion.
Give me a fit check.
Sure. I'm wearing Fugazi socks that I took from the runway
fucking
show.
Stole? You stole the samples?
So two things. One is I'll start. I'm starting something.
Big things coming. Watch
big,
this
space. Big things coming. Watch this space. Lasagna silence. G. We were at the runway show and they gave me a size 11 shoe. I'm a size 9. And they run a little bit big. And they were like, just wear some extra socks. I was like, fine. So I had four pairs of socks on and I did like a stack with the socks. I was like, this looks kind of sick.
Are we sock maxing now?
Yeah. So I think what I'm going to start doing is sock layering.
Yeah.
It looks kind of sick, especially with shorts, like a kind of.
Yeah. But then your toes just are.
Well, no, I mean like triple sock and Birkenstocks. I'll ideate on this and get back to everybody with like the ideal shoe for the triple quadruple sock max, stock max, the sock stack. So that's my thing. If anybody else takes that, I'm going to punch you in the head. But, very nice guy, Devin, shout out Devin. We walked together and he ended up with a triple sock stack at the runway. I ended up switching with another model who was a smaller size or a bigger size. We traded shoes And I only wear one pair. So I wasn't the one to do it on the runway, but I would have been petulant about it. I was
so
also wearing pants.
You weren't the first, dude. It's not your thing anymore.
I was the first guy to do it.
I don't know about that. I've sock stacked before.
No, you haven't. Not like me.
Yeah, in a way better way. In a way more like quirked up.
Quirked up, yeah, sexy, hot.
Yeah, sock maxing. Yeah.
See, you're already trying to take it from me. That's how I know I'm onto something. He's already trying to claim ownership over the sock stack max. So that's the new thing. So I'm wearing the socks. They're great. I, again, finished and was really sweaty. Returned everything. Just didn't think to return the socks.
What?
Anyway, didn't think to return the socks. But they're great socks. I hope they release these. I'm wearing my striped gold denim, my American Express shirt, which everybody knows, my favorite shirt. And then one of my favorite sweaters, this old Paul Stewart cashmere sweater that's got eaten by moths that my grandfather was going to throw away. And I was like, don't you dare. And then every time I wear it around my grandparents, my grandma tries to take it and like hide it or throw it away.
She just doesn't get it.
Yeah. So I was at their house back when I was working in Boston. And I guess I took it off for dinner and left it next to the table and couldn't find it again. And my grandma was like, oh, I don't know where it went. Like it must've disappeared. 4 months later, I'm looking for some laundry detergent in their laundry room. And it's like under the sink in the back under some towels. And I was like, all right, Mimi, like
she didn't fully commit to throwing it out though.
No, which I appreciate, but she did almost the worst thing, which is like gaslight. Leo's a menace today. Leo's hit the
make him go hoodie mode.
All right, yeah. So take us through your fit. I'll go hoodie up, Leo. Everybody, I discovered this about my dog. I don't know if this is universal with dachshunds, but if I put him in a hoodie or a sweater, he's like primal, I need to get under and cuddle something drive activates. And so he'll most likely jump into my lap and fall asleep immediately. But if you have a blanket, he'll disappear underneath it.
Hoodie this boy up.
Yeah. All right, Michael, take us through a fit.
I am wearing cowboy boot Crocs, which is my current house shoe. Cozaburro 3D boot cut jeans in this like calligraphy, not calligraphy. Is that what they call it? I think they call it calligraphy print denim, not
what,
print.
Where does 3D come from? Do you know the origin of it?
So if you look at the like, I'll show you. There's like a.
Go show the camera. Don't show me. I can see this.
There's like a little like fold here.
Oh, is like that not like, just your leg?
No, look. There's like it's like seamed into
yeah,
the.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the seam like wraps around. They really do just like they sit in this shape.
That's permanently. Sick. I love that.
And they make a cropped version that's really cool, and it just like hangs like perfect like cone shape around your leg. And then the coolest part about these is that it's not painted. It's not painted and it's not bleached. It's just woven. It's like they reverse the like order of the weave when it gets to those specific parts. And so it like
it's actually kind of beautiful to look at. Like you know, maybe we'll put in B-roll. But it really does, like, you can see sort of the lines invert.
Yeah, you can see where it switches to. Basically, the white part is the back of denim.
One must imagine this pattern is or not even the pattern, but like the instructions on the machine are nightmarish. Because not only are you going inverted, but you're also curving the seam down your leg.
Well, so I don't think the
My bad.
It's not lined up in any way. But yeah, there's like
it's not a bias cut.
No, and there's got to be like. Like there's one single stitch there that's not stitch. There's one single like dot there of the correct weave and then it goes right back. So there's probably some sort of like computer aided thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They're also insanely high waisted. The waist goes above
the
belt. Oh,
wait, yeah. Tell them why it's like that. I love this.
I was talking to Cozaburro, to the guy who made them, and he says he likes it because when he like goes out and eats too much, he can just unbutton them while he's sitting down, which is really great because they still stay up. It's just a nice, like,
yeah. I really also the what do you call it? The leather tag on them.
Oh, it's
just sandpaper.
The tag on them is made of sandpaper or like grip tape. I'm gonna have to take it off because it's gonna shred every single one of my shirts.
It's so cool.
It's gonna shred
my
shirts.
That's part of it. And also, you are the biggest proponent of fucking up what you wear.
I'm not taking sandpaper to one specific point on all of my shirts.
I feel like that's a cool detail.
I don't know.
How is your shirt distressed? Like what? an eighth of the way up.
Yeah, so I got these from, I went to a Kozaburo sample sale and got these. So I actually haven't been able to find these on the internet. There's other calligraphy things, but I've never, I haven't actually found the denim anywhere else. So I'm unsure.
Have I told my Kozaburo story on the podcast? Do you remember this? So when I was a freshman at Yale, I joined the student group, which was, it was Yale Fashion House, YFH. And every semester they used to do it. They used to have a runway show. And students would reach out to designers that they liked, sometimes smaller designers, and try to get them to send some samples to walk on the runway. Or we'd source from students who made things, which was fairly rare at Yale. There was no fashion design, you know, program. So I was aware of Kozaburo. I don't know how I came across them in 2016, which is when I like followed them. And I emailed them, and whoever was doing it said, like, no, like, you know, very, very nice. But they said, no, we're not going to send you anything. I was like, all right, that's fine. And then honestly, I kind of forgot about them for a couple of years because I think out of like, oh, fuck, you know, fuck Kozaburo, I unfollowed them. But
God damn.
You know, it all comes full circle. And I was like, I know that name sounds familiar. I went to the runway show this past Fashion Week. It was very, very beautiful. I loved it.
Now it's unfuck Kozaburo?
Yeah, now it's unfuck Kozaburo. It was never fuck Kozaburo. It was more just me being salty more so than anything else. But it's cool, like small world.
Salty that a small brand didn't have spare clothes to send to a college student doing a runway show that has no impact on there.
And no, like shit got lost and like...
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It was... No, but I mean, also at the time, like I thought it was a big deal. Hi, Toast. It's Michael's cat. You know, obviously anything you're doing at any point in time is important if you're putting, you know, time and care into it.
True.
I didn't really understand, like, you know, not to belittle anything, but like looking back, I was like, yeah, this is, you know, we were doing it in one of the dining halls and things like that. It was fun. I enjoyed it. But yeah, no, I wouldn't have sent us anything either.
Yeah. Yeah. These, especially like he must have been like even smaller back then.
Oh, in it was September of 2017. Yeah, yeah. Like
this is the first instance in nearly a decade that I have worn indigo denim.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to think. No, you're right.
Like I've got some like light wash jeans that are super bleached out, but like this is the first time since I hung up the like PBJs that I have worn dark blue denim, and that's kind of crazy to me.
You're like Batman in the ending scene of what is it? Dark Knight Returns. What's the one with Bane?
I don't know, man.
That's fuck.
Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, where Alfred sees him at the cafe with Anne Hathaway. He gives him a little nod. That's me in my fucking indigo dyed denim seeing you. Some indigo again.
But there, yeah.
Are you crocking on shit?
I'm not crocking on shit. Pause. I don't like these work, I think, well enough.
Yeah,
like, no, I don't like wearing indigo, but these are fucked up enough that I think I can tolerate.
Why don't you like wearing indigo?
I don't know. I think it looks bad with most things. No,
fuck you, man.
It looks okay. I guess that's the thing.
It looks good for you. You look like, you know, you look okay. I mean, for somebody who's into fat, you know, so Rick Owens
wear so much black, and I think indigo and black looks kind of bad.
It does. Yeah. I'd say indigo, gray, and black actually looks quite nice. But the gray needs to be right. You need sort of like a darker blue. Also,
there's so much thinking that needs to go on. Also, I will finish my fit check very quickly. I'm wearing a Balenciaga employee shirt. Unreleased, baby. You got to work there to get this. It's a plain black shirt.
Just with, is on the booby, right?
It has the tiniest little Balenciaga logo right there.
Oh, this is okay, rare. Hold on. I have a full conversation that we need to have, but finish your fit check and then I will launch us into it.
And then I got a Balenciaga Paris Cities hoodie that I've been wearing a lot lately.
Michael was in Paris.
I was. An extra, extra large hat for my fat fucking head. And then I'm real head stacking today. I got a hat, a hoodie, and then headphones over that. I look like Eminem.
That's an awfully shit.
That's an awfully hot coffee pot.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the big talking point, I've been thinking about this a lot in the past couple of days because I've been reading some of Jose's writing, and I've also, it was actually Alexandra, Guy Fieri superfan.
Mm-hmm.
They're the fashion writers that I follow the most. And if you don't, you should. They write really good stuff. And I think that fashion journalism right now is in a weird spot, and it's hard to find good opinion and just well-written pieces that aren't just like mouthpieces for what brands want to say. But I've been thinking a lot about, I almost think now, I should say, it's impossible for there to be a if-you-know-you-know culture, especially with the rise of TikTok and Instagram. And I also wanted you to weigh in on this because I've been waffling back and forth between like, yes, it can exist, no, it can't.
Define what you mean by if-you-know-you-know.
Exactly. So I think if you look back to the mid to late 2000s and even into the 2010s, there were certain things that were like, if you know, you know, right? Rick Owens, you know, spawned out of what, like 4chan, you know, guys wearing geo baskets and things like that. I'm not saying it was an exclusively 4chan thing, but there was a very, very avid subgroup online that was sort of, if you know, you know, and then it sort of broke into the mainstream or sort of broke into, you know, ASAP Rocky started wearing it and people started to know if they knew, right? But the pickup was quite slow. And the acceleration of the trend or the acceleration of sort of that micro community that then reached the mainstream was significantly slower than the acceleration of trends and, you know, popular culture or cultural fashion moments, excuse me, that we see today.
Do you think that like 4chan era Rick stuff, like 2014, was really the like if you know you know era of Rick?
No, I'm just using that as an example of like a internet sub community that was sort of isolated off from the rest of the internet. And I think that with the rise of TikTok and Instagram and a lot of fashion, like new age fashion journalism, especially with how diligent some of these creators are with finding new things and identifying things that are going on. And that's, I think, both a boon and a curse, right? You know, if you have everybody constantly aware of everything at one time, this is sort of the crux of what I'm trying to get to. If you have everybody aware of everything at all times and the motivation to sort of stay relevant for these creators is to be seeking these things out, I think it becomes much harder to have like, if you know, you know, things within fashion or trends within fashion or brands. And again, like, it's almost like the ungatekeepification, for lack of a better term, of fashion in general, which again, I'm a fan of, but I think it's sort of not killed off because it's not dead. However, I think there's significantly fewer things that are gatekept to an extent where it is truly, if you know, you know.
I kind of feel, well, that's all like a problem of scale because there's like, you know, okay, you are now in a larger group of people that knows.
Yeah.
That's still the same. Like, a majority of people don't know what any of this is.
That's true. I, yeah. Okay. But even then, I'm seeing terms, you know, even things like GORPcore, right? Now there's quiet outdoors, which, go outside, like, touch grass. But you get what I mean, right? Like, these terms
are... Don't let them win. If you say quiet outdoors,
I'm never gonna say that.
If you start now saying quiet outdoors and then outdoors, if you start now and we say it as a joke,
that's true, it legitimizes it.
It becomes like,
do we have to bleep it?
This
to
keep is it from,
it's like the mind virus, right? Like, fear is the mind killer. The second you think about it,
don't think it, don't say it.
The pee pee poo poo man,
quiet outdoors. No, it's that thing where like one like funny clickbait article is like,
yeah,
quiet outdoors is the new thing because someone's like, oh, we need to say something that causes people to talk, and then so many more people like quote dunk
yeah,
on
yeah,
it
yeah.
than like it's
oh this
one
is how
thing
this is how we rage bait. Can you do quiet Rick?
Oh,
all right, we'll make the video after this.
Yo, the new thing is quiet Rick.
Yo, quiet Lenciaga.
Quiet
Silenciaga.
Silenciaga.
That's the one.
Yo,
we did it. All right,
fuck,
yeah, we're making
quiet
that
luxury
video.
We're doing Silenciaga.
Silenciaga. You guys don't know it. It's if you know, you know. You have, that's the employee shirt.
We doing Rick Sloan's. So
yo, Rick Sloan's is crazy.
Refschmans. No. Not funny.
Refschmans?
That's what I said.
No, but you gotta
Refschmans.
I was really worried about you're gonna breathe in my ears. No, but I do think it is. I mean, even with subcultures in general, we've talked about this before in the podcast. I think it is, again, for better and for worse, I think better for enjoyment and pushing forward of, like, you know, subcultures as a thing that everybody can enjoy. But it's become less of a, like, if you know, you know thing. And it's become much easier to, maybe this isn't the right word, but infiltrate those subcultures and participate within them. Mm. And I also think brands have an incentive to try and move in as quickly as they can for a couple of reasons. One is, I think some brands are struggling a little bit to find their identity as retail sees a decline. And this is one of the things Jose was writing about and commenting on. But brands without a strong brand identity, who are really sort of like waffling and trying to figure out how can we make money and stay afloat, are incentivized to jump on like what is cool and make clothes for that, or mimic what is, you know, doing well, to try and be the one that's like, oh, you know, you want to look like X, you go to Y. I think there is an incentive on a lot of sides to not gatekeep, and it makes it more difficult. And again, like, this isn't me saying like, if you know, you know, because I do think it is a little bit annoying, the people who are like, oh, like, you don't know anything about this, like, ooh, like, shut up. However, I do think it is harder to have those subcultures within fashion in particular. And it's interesting. It's interesting because I think in the past, you know, before the advent of TikTok and even cell phones, you know, New York had a very particular style and had particular music and particular tastes and culture and art coming out of it that was very distinct from even other cities within the US, let alone abroad. But as you get more interconnected, especially online, those distinctive barriers, those distinctive styles start to fade away.
The like regional fashion aesthetic has kind of died a little bit.
A little bit. And that's not to say it's completely died. Like, you were talking about how people dress different in London. I was talking about how people dress very differently in Norway. And I think
the things like the fashion people in London, I might be projecting, but I feel like more and more every time I go back, the fashion people in London in like the Soho area are starting to look more and more like the people in our Soho area.
I was talking more widely about like fashion as a general term and less about the fashion community, but it's absolutely correct for the fashion, you know, capital F community as a whole. And, you know, I think that's for better and for worse. But again, I really do like when you go to a different city and you see something that somebody's got on, you're like, holy fuck. Like,
he got that shit on.
He got that shit on. I've never seen that before in my life. But now, you know, what, you're going to go over to London, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's, you know, sort of what New York is doing. It's, you know, vintage soccer jerseys, which, you know, are British. Sambas, probably vintage 501s. Actually, it's cold now. I don't know what the, like, cold weather. Yo, it's quiet outdoors, right? But, like,
that's all.
Oh, okay. But you get my point, right? Like, the regional fashion, and I think you put it really well, has sort of died. And it's a little bit sad. And I kind of, you know, children yearn for the mind. Saul yearns for regional differentiation between fashion and
I don't think that's the same thing. I don't think those are even good. That's not a good metaphor. That's a pretty shit metaphor.
No, I'm in the
That's
mind.
Just saying you want something. You can't just use children yearn for the minds when you want something, Saul. Because yes. Children yearn for the minds.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But no, I do think it is an interesting trend within fashion and one that, yo, why is no one talking about this? But I do think that it's riveting to see, and like what happens when everybody just starts dressing the same. And you know, what are, I guess you would probably know a little bit more than I do, but what are the places internationally that still have sort of like held out from that international influence and have a very distinct style despite them being interconnected?
I don't know if I do know. But like, because I mean, I don't travel that much. I'm not like,
you've done more traveling than I have recently.
I've been to two other countries. And one of them, I was not in like a fashion zone. I was like, I went to London and I feel like it was a little more homogenous, But also, like, my main experience is that I went to the fucking Amy Leon Dore there.
Yeah, that's true.
Just to no, see but what again, it was like.
That's still, and you know, I shit on Amy Leon Dore a lot, rightfully so. But that's still what like the fashion crowd is interacting with at this point in time. Like, yeah. You know, I can dub on it all I want, but it's here to stay, whether I like it or not. You know, I give Teddy, it's Teddy Santis, his flowers when it comes to like marketing and positioning in the fashion zeitgeist.
The zeitgeist.
But you get what I mean, right? Like, I don't like what they make. I think their fans are kind of petulant and annoying. But he's done an incredible job of marketing and positioning to the point where he's making money and he has influence. And his brand itself is sort of within the conversation of like, what, 21, even younger to 20 or I guess 30 something year old men. And it's popular. It's doing well. And mm-hmm. It's setting the trend for, you know, some of these other brands, especially like not Banana Republic. I'm trying to think like J. Crew or something as they're trying to like reposition themselves. And, you know, I think he's done good for the fashion community in that he's making certain brands remake themselves away from like what basic ass shitty V-neck shirts.
Mm.
I don't like him as a whole, but I got to give him credit where credit is due. I can't be a staunch hater, and you got to be educated to be a good hater. You can't just be like, oh, fuck that. You need to back it up.
Nah.
Bruh.
Forgot we had that.
It's all the like 6'5 people I know are so nice.
Oh my god, our Ben is taller than 6'5, right?
Oh yeah, Ben's like
our friend
so
Ben
tall.
Is like the definition of like gentle giant, like such a fun, lovely, upbeat, goofy guy, and he's like, I mean, if it's you know what it is, it's like that big dog effect. You know when people have Rottweilers and they're the nicest dogs in the world, but you're like, if this dog got mad at me, I would die.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that with Ben. Like if Ben decided he wanted to hurt me, I'd just be like, listen, I'm cooked. Like I'll break my own spine. That's cool. And I'm a big guy. Like Ben is like, if Ben got mad, I'd be like, listen, going into a different room wouldn't stop him.
He'd run coming through the walls. Yeah. You're done.
Yeah. It's like the big dog effect.
But
like,
also, I don't think you can piss off Ben.
No. No, I don't. I mean, not you or I. I'm saying like someone could.
Yeah.
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 Ben, also, I want to give Ben a shout out. His oh shit, is it B-A-C-H-I-L-L-E-S? Is it Ben Achilles?
Ben Achilles, yeah.
Achilles.
B Achilles.
So, Ben, every time we show up to an event and Ben is there, I get really excited, first of all, because he's very easy to spot because he's tall. And every time he shows up, he's wearing some shit that's like,
some first shit of all, you never seen.
No, it's shit that you've seen, but it's like in the back of your brain and like that part fires and you're like, oh my God. Like he was wearing like a bedazzled Gucci shirt from like 2008. And I was like, first of all, I didn't know that these were still around. I thought they had all fallen apart in 2009, 1 year after they'd been put out. But he's wearing it as like a 6'5" guy. And it's like, I don't know how he just makes it look so swaggy. And it's like, holy shit, I haven't thought about this in forever, and you're doing it, and it looks so cool. Like, Ben dresses really well.
All of the, like, 2000s micro trends from before micro trends were, like, cycled through at such a fucking alarming rate that they changed once a week.
Yeah.
But, like he had on KTZ.
Yes.
Which is, like...
He's so sick!
I think I've talked about this before, but he was wearing, like, a KTZ shirt, which I don't think a single, like... TikTok Rick Owens kid knows what KTZ is, this like, it's a Russian brand that has like all this like cryptic sort of like symbols drawn on it. It's always black shirt, white letters, and it's like some sort of like runes and like incantations and shit. Like it looks like high fantasy, something that would be etched into a door.
Yeah.
And it's so gaudy, and for a hot second it was like the thing to wear with your like biker jeans and geobaskets.
Was it?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
And also, I mean, like that, and then like, you know, the classic like pods, like
can
the Rick
get
shit.
Some KTZ back?
No, but Ben can. That's the thing. Yeah. I can't do it, but like Ben pulls it out. Like I would feel weird in it. I'm like, this is something that
how
like
do you feel weird in that?
How do you feel weird in that?
No, but genuinely, like, I've put on some of your Rick stuff, and I'm like, it's not for me, but it looks really cool, and it makes me feel cool.
It's just too... Something about that holds a very specific, nostalgic place
it's me
in
with
my
Attack
brain.
On Titan.
I don't know about that, but probably.
For those who don't know, kids in my high school used to wear the full Attack on Titan getup, like the jackets, the pants, the backpacks, and then do their hair like Eren Yeager. This was before it was cool, maybe, to do that. I don't know if that's ever cool.
Do kids still wear tails in high school?
Oh, fuck.
And if so, are they now more accepted than they used to be?
Ooh, good question.
My guess is that yes.
There was a girl who wore a tail in my high school, and again, I feel sort of bad. Kids used to really dunk on her.
Yeah.
Not I, said the fox, but yeah, I mean, you just, I like high school and middle school are, I wouldn't do it again for $1 million. You and I could probably go in the way we dress, confident and happy, and come out after maybe 2 weeks and be like, I want to die. I want to die. Like, get me. I don't even know what high schoolers are wearing right now.
No, I, well, Dark Shadow Ramones and.
Yeah, but they'd bully you.
Why?
For wearing like mainline Rick somehow.
They'd find
right?
a way.
They'd find a way. I was talking about this with somebody else, but there is nobody better because, okay, I think because like girls, especially from 12 to 16, don't quite yet have access, one, to curse words, and two, haven't learned like the social.
Girls don't have access to curse words.
No, no, no. Just bear with me. It's not just like fuck you is the insult, right? That hasn't become like the standard.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And they also don't know like the social decorum to not say some of the shit that pops into their head.
You think girls specifically?
No, I'm saying guys as well, but girls are much better at it, is my point. This is also why I'm terrified of like the roving packs of 14-year-olds that are around my mom's place in Greenwich. But they are so good at getting to your insecurities so fast. And it's probably projection because they're insecure as well. But they are so good at it and they are so mean. And it's never fuck you, you look ugly. It's like
picturing you like,
dude, I'm
walking
scared.
Past a crowd of high school
yes.
and like seeing them and like
I pearl clutch.
Like,
I like
going
oh.
the, like crossing the
yes.
street because
yes.
they're fucking.
No, I'm genuinely scared because like. You'll like they'd say some shit like, yeah, you're wearing that oversized shirt, but we can still see your love handles that you can't get rid of because you can't lose those last 10 pounds. I'd cry.
Do they say shit like that to you?
Yes. One of them. Oh, fuck.
I've never had this experience with a high schooler.
Oh, my God. No, I was walking around. I don't want to say where my mom lives. She lives in Connecticut. But there's groups of like, you know, 13-year-old girls that rove around with nothing better to do but to be mean. And I was getting like, first of all, not like catcalled because they, you know, not like that. But they were like, oh, like, you know, big man with the cute dog. Like they said something like you only have that dog to go and get chicks because you're like sad and alone. And I was like, what the hell?
Dude? No, you got some weird breed of high schoolers in
these
Connecticut.
These are mean, catty private school girls in Connecticut
Jesus.
That like get together and just like the mean amplification. You know what I mean?
Just like call each other up like, hey, you want to go make fun of people on the street today?
Yeah, and this is at like 9:15 at night and like, you know, they're dark and they're coming out of alleyways and like, I'd rather get mugged. Let's be honest. I'd rather turn over my wallet and get stomped out than have to go like insult for insult with a group of 13-year-old girls. They are so mean and they're so cutting and I'm so scared of them. And every time I go past them, I'm like, don't make eye contact. You're just going to provoke them. Like, Leo, walk faster. We're going. Please don't stop to pee. I don't want to go near them. Like, I'm so scared of them.
Is it always the same girls?
I don't know because I don't want to look at them too hard. They'll be mean to me. They're so scary. And like,
That's so funny. They're so mean, dude.
I don't get it. And it's always unprovoked. I never say anything. I look nice. I have headphones in. Like, don't talk to me. I'm wearing a hat. I pull it down over my eyes. They can
bro,
smell fear.
That's why.
They smell
if
fear.
If you walk past... Bro, you just got to be confident. They're half your age for one thing.
They're so scary.
Bro, they can't even fucking drive.
They're so scary. That makes them scarier. They're going to like pull up... And their moms are where they get it from because their moms are even nastier, right? Their moms are coming and picking them up in what, like BMW i8s, right? Dropping them off on this one fucking street. I'm not going to say because I don't want to dox my mom. But like that's where they're getting it from. Their moms who get like too much plastic surgery and Botox and, you know, show up with what are they wearing? They're wearing like Aritzia in their late 30s, right? Like that's who they get
it from. Wait, late 30s with teenage kids?
Yeah. Because they all marry older. Like, again, this is like affluent white WASP suburb in Connecticut. It doesn't take a genius from the Northeast to figure out where this is. But yeah, like, they're just the scariest fucking people. And then the boys, honestly, are like, you guys are just trying to like have fun. You're being a little bit petulant. You know, you're just teenage boys. Like, teenage boys anywhere are going to be exactly the same.
Yeah.
Right? Teenage girls are just so mean and they're fucking scary. And I am so scared. Like, they can smell my fear. Like, you know, I'm putting my hand in the box. That's me walking past them. And I'm screaming, right? The Bene Gesserit are going to kill me every
time. Stop making Dune references. This is why. This is why they make fun of you.
But that's what works for me in adult life.
Dune references don't work in adult. Do not make Dune references. Mm-hmm. Also, bear in mind that most people have only seen the first half of the first book movie.
Yeah, maybe.
That's your second Bene Gesserit reference of the podcast.
Is it?
Yeah, because you made a Fear is the Mind Killer.
Oh, yeah.
You made a Litany Against Fear reference. Don't you fucking dare.
I'm getting lit.
Getting lit. Litany. Oh, God, we should be killed.
What was the other thing that I wanted to talk about on the podcast? It wasn't about subcultures. It wasn't about if you know, you know. I'll think about it. It'll pop back into my brain because I thought it would be a good conversation for the podcast. We take it in more of a serious direction. You know, it's fun to meme and joke around, but I also like having serious conversations about fashion in this platform. And I do think it is an interesting medium for people to talk about fashion. Oh, so it is like sale season? I haven't bought clothes in a while. We went to the Balenciaga friends and family sale. We should talk about this.
Yeah, no, that shit went... I love that shit.
It was fun. It was fucking crazy. There was a group of kids that got in before us, and one of them showed up, apparently was really annoying at the last one, according to the people that we went with, but I genuinely think he dropped $15,000 or $16,000. He was checking out for maybe a half hour.
We were at the friends and family sale, and like there were multiple kids who got in before us.
Yeah.
Who must have showed up at like either showed up at like 4 or 5 a.m. or like
we showed up at 7 in the morning, right?
Yeah, and they were already in front of us.
Yeah.
God. Just so many kids checking out for like an hour.
This is not an exaggeration. This kid was legitimately checking out for 30 or 40 minutes.
Yep. And like clearly buying a bunch of stuff that they're using to like fund their archive page or whatever. And then when they go to pay, they pull out the fucking platinum Amex.
It was a platinum and a gold Amex. And it was just
which is not theirs.
No, obviously not. But the crazy thing is one of the kids was checking out in front of me and like, I guess he was kind of nice about it, but he had six of a camo parka that I really wanted. I have a fleece that I got on a very deep sale. He had six of these parkas. He must have just grabbed all of them off the rack. And I tapped him on the shoulder. I was like, hey, excuse me. Like, you've got six of them. Do you mind if I have one? He was like, no, sorry, bro. I can't do it. And I was like, oh, like, I get it. You know, like, go get your bag, king. But also... maybe he's not a king for that.
Yeah, but no, that shit sucks. Like
six, you're going to take six of them. And then also like think about supply and demand, right? If you go to the basic supply and demand curves and you're listing four of these at a time.
No. That's the thing.
What?
There's no other supply if he owns all of them. If he buys all of them, there's no one else to list them and he can space them out.
He's not smart enough to do that, is he?
He might be. They're not unveiled yet.
Because there was a guy who had two of the camo ones. He was the guy that went last. No, he had three. And I know he got them at the friends and family sale because he posted them. They still had all the tags. And the first photo was Playboy Cardi wearing them. And I was like, fuck you. And I messaged him. He had them all up for $1,500. And I got mine for $270. I don't know what it was pre-tax, but I ended up...
You're not going to reason with these
kids. No, but I shot him a message and I was like, hey, I got a large. Would you mind flipping this for the medium and I'll cover shipping? And, you know, you can still sell them. Mine is new and it has tags. And he was like, nah, bruh, I know what I have. And I was like, first of all, I'm not asking you to sell it to me. I'm asking you to...
We both know what you have. Yeah, that's why I'm messaging you.
We're asking you to trade sizes. I'm not at, like... I just... I respect it. A lot of them, I don't respect it, actually. I I see the vision, right? You're trying to pad out your archive store, Balenciaga.zip or whatever the fuck you're naming it. But $16,000 worth of stuff at the Balenciaga friends and family sale is heinous. It might have been more, to be honest.
That's just what those kids
do. I gotta think. So they give you these big, almost like big trash bags. They're a little bit more substantial. And he had, I think, like 5 or 6 of them, like stuffed full of clothes. And again, like, I guess if you have the money to do it, that's fine. But also, he's not paying with his own money. So why not just cop it retail? Like, you know, like, why are you showing up to the friends and family sale if you have that much money? I guess you're selling it and making like an incremental profit. Oh, I should have reported them to the IRS. Oh, that would have been sick.
What the fuck are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about? I should have reported them to the IRS.
No.
Like, you can just call the IRS and be like, there's a teenager here buying a bunch of Balenciaga.
Not like that. But if they're selling it through Instagram stories, they're not paying tax on it. And
Doug,
and
you're not fucking narking to the IRS.
Yeah, I am.
Also, that shit must go through PayPal, and that is,
yeah,
that is now taxed.
Oh, yeah, they implemented that.
You fucking narc.
Yeah, but that's fine. They give you a bunch of money if you do it. They're incentivizing narking. Listen, I'm not above getting, I think it's like $2,500.
Damn.
Right? Now it sounds pretty good, huh, fucker?
I'm still not, like, I'm not doing that.
No. But anyway, and again, they're buying a lot of the stuff that nobody else would really grab a bunch of, you know, like the city shirts and things like that, like stuff that was sitting, but they're also getting 6 of the camo parka, and I would have wanted one.
You snooze,
know.
You lose, dude.
The funny thing was watching him walk out with all the bags and the Balenciaga employees, one being a little bit bewildered, just at the amount of stuff he was buying, but they were helping him carry things out, and they took like 4 trips back and forth with 3 people. So what is that? That's 2 or 3 bags at a time, 3 people, 4 trips. So 2, let's just say 3 times 4 times 4, right? I mean, that's obscene. That's an obscene number of bags. I mean, oh my God. Anyway, if you see a bunch of Balenciaga popping up, everybody go and lowball him. I think that'd be really funny. Just be like, I know where you got this. It was fun though. I got some cool stuff. I'm very happy. I got one of the asymmetric knit polos, which nobody else was going for, but
yeah, those were sitting at the end.
Yeah, they fit well for me, and I wish I could have gone back and got one of the striped ones. It makes you kind of look like a hunchback, but I kind of like it.
Kind of like a hunchback, but in like a cool, sexy way. Yo, like
I'm Quasimodo, quasi in my moto jeans. What else did I end up getting? I got a World Food Program turtleneck, which I've been after for like 3 years.
Oh, it's crazy that there was one of those there.
I can't believe the kids in front of me didn't get it.
No, because those were at all the last sales, like tons of them at all the last sales.
But I feel like they'd still sell.
Maybe.
I mean, like it's something that's not a city's. Like, I'm surprised they didn't go and get that one. You know what I mean? You know, that was cool. I'm happy. Somebody stole a pair of Fluid trousers off of my little thing.
Oh yeah, wait.
I was going to get a pair of dress pants because, you know, like nice black dress pants, you know, they'll go with anything, whatever. Somebody just like took them from me. And I was like, okay, like, you know, I'm not that mad. Like, you know, it's okay. I won't spend more money. But at the same time, like, what the fuck? You're just coming in and stealing shit?
That happens a lot. People go fucking nuts.
Yeah. We're going to go crazy in there.
I've seen people get blacklisted from those sales.
For
fighting.
Oh, shit. Over clothes?
It's like suburban moms fighting over purses.
Over the bags? Okay.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm going to start instigating. Yo, I heard they're putting out more stuff. You just have to go kick her ass. They caught 2 guys. Didn't they try to break in?
No, that's something else. And I don't know if we should talk about it.
Okay. No, we shouldn't probably.
That's insider info. That's not insider info, but that's like a legal matter.
Oopsie daily.
But that's a completely different store.
Yeah. Oh no, but they got them at the Balenciaga thing, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Year end, we're about to wrap up the pod for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Any fun retrospective thoughts that you have on fashion as a whole?
And fashion as a whole.
Ooh, let me give you a chance to either be a curmudgeon or not. Do you like the direction that fashion is going right now?
Do you think it's only going one direction?
No, that's the point.
I think I generally like most of what I see in fashion. I
cite your sources. What are you enjoying that you're seeing?
Like generally, like the way people are dressing.
Oh, I remember what I wanted to talk about. Okay.
I like the way people are dressing. Like I've been seeing a lot of like interesting outfits and interesting mm-hmm. ways of dressing. I think people as a whole are getting better at dressing.
Yeah.
Like if I think to like what I was seeing sort of floating around the internet like a couple years ago,
yeah.
there was way more
COVID got weird.
like shitty outfits.
Yeah.
And I think as a whole, or I'm just getting more accepting, but like as a whole, I'm seeing a lot more outfits that I'm like, oh, that looks really cool.
I think part of that is also the people that you and I follow. And this is me as well. I'm sure if I looked at shit I was wearing 3 years ago, I'd be like, holy fuck, bro, take that shit off, right? But the people that you and I follow and interact with, everybody's getting better at dressing.
And I click through random people's profiles pretty much constantly.
Really?
Yeah, I'm all the time on Instagram. Like, if I get a notification from a random person,
okay, yeah.
or if I'm like reading comments on someone's, I click like every like third username I see, and I'm just like, what is this person doing? What do they look like? Sometimes, and like I feel like I used to do that and see some really heinous outfits.
Yeah,
and I now do that and don't and. More than one occasion, I have clicked through someone's profile, been like, wow, they dress good, and then scrolled back and found some of the heinous outfits.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
the people are learning,
yeah.
I think. Like the
girlies
general,
and the divas are learning.
The general population of people is getting better. Gen pop is getting better at dressing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think also part
well
of that
done.
Is, one, people are figuring out, again, the un-gatekeepification of fashion. People are figuring out where to get cool shit.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I think... brands in general, we're exiting out of that, you know, like there's the boom and bust cycle of fashion startups where like the good ones survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're in sort of that like down phase right now where the good ones have survived and they're putting out good stuff. And the amount of like kind of, I don't want to say dog shit because I'm never going to dunk on somebody for starting a fashion brand, but the unsuccessful ones, the ones that haven't
made it.
I'll
dunk on people for starting a fashion brand.
Fine. The shitty ones have not survived. And so what remains are... the good ones are the ones trying interesting, interesting shit. And they've made it out and they're, you know, like it's less dilute in terms of what is making it out and what is good. Also, I talked about this last week. Why the fuck is Alexander Wang back? Can we?
This keeps fucking happening, man.
It pisses me off to no end. Stop wearing Alexander Wang. I don't care if it was, there's a million, go buy the Y3 Adidas stuff if you want anything Alexander Wang. We don't need
Y3 isn't Alexander Wang.
No, that's what I mean. If you want to wear stuff that looks like the Alexander Wang stuff that people are like, oh shit, this is archive Alexander Wang. Go buy the fucking Y3 Adidas stuff.
Alexander Wang wasn't even cool back in the day.
No, and it all looks like shit. And stop writing nice pieces about him. You don't have to be nice to a fucking sex pest. It bothers me so much.
Yeah.
It really does. You can bully predators. That's fun. It's not fun. It's necessary. Keep them out.
Yeah.
Ugh. If I see one more fluff piece of, is Alexander Wang back? I'm going to that writer's house and throwing a brick through their window. You're part of the problem. It really upsets me.
Yeah.
And then, I'm sorry, hold on. This is, again, this is me arguing with myself, which I do in, you know, on these podcasts a lot. However, the writers in fashion who enable Alexander Wang to make a comeback are just as to blame as anybody else buying the shit. Because they're the tastemakers. They're the ones uplifting it. And then the same writers behind closed doors go, why is Alexander Wang back? Why are people buying the shit? Motherfucker, because you're making him cool. It's your fault. And never in my eyes is he going to be cool. But, you know, in the styles, zeitgeist, the fashion, zeitgeist. You're bringing them back in. It pisses me off so much. It's the same thing with people who have like shitty people as friends and they refuse to cut them off or do anything to avoid an awkward conversation. You know, nobody wants to write the article. It's time to have an awkward conversation about Alexander Wang.
I think the thing is that the article has been written and you won't get any more clicks from like talking about the thing that's happened.
No, but I think there is something to be said about also addressing fashion writers and addressing their place in this.
Yeah.
Even if your money, even if your publication, whoever you're writing for, is giving you money to write about Alexander Wang, I think fashion writers need to
Have a little spine.
Have a little spine and say, listen, I don't want to be the one to write this. I don't want my name attached.
People might do that until you reach someone who does.
I guess. I don't know. Have some fucking morals, guys. Stand with the people that Alexander Wang fucking assaulted and made feel terrible. Because I imagine, like, not only just for them, just as a stand in general, stop supporting shitty people. In the dumbest fucking most obvious statement I should make, have a spine, fashion writers. Please, God, please have a spine. Ugh. Anyway, the thing that I wanted to talk about, year in retrospective, I guess we'll go back to, but I went to a Ronica Dykstra exhibit at Marion Goodman, which is in Midtown Manhattan. And one of the really cool things that I haven't actually seen her do, because she's mostly a photographer, is there's a painting called The Night Watch the full title is like The Militia of Francis Barriston Cock or something, and it's called The Night Watch because they put this really shitty varnish over it and looks like it's happening at night, but it's not. It's during the day, it's just the shitty varnish, and so it became, you know, it's one of Rembrandt's, you know, better, more lauded paintings. Anyway, essentially what she did, which I thought was really cool, is they gave her access to the painting after hours, and she brought in different groups of people from different demographics, from different age groups, from different areas of the world, and just had them talk about the painting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously art is subjective. Art is opinionated, and the way people look at art is... Wait, it's objective, excuse me, not subjective.
No, it's subjective.
It is subjective. Okay, sorry. I don't know why I started overthinking that. Anyway, art is subjective. The opinions people have about art are personal, and it was really interesting to see how varied and what people noticed and what people chose to talk about as well, because they are on camera, about the paintings, how radically they diverged and how quickly it did. You had these three German guys that were sort of explaining it and were having slightly more intellectual conversation, but it went back to this like narcissistic, you know, if I was the one in this painting, I want to be front and center. Like, you know, I want to look X and Y. There was a group of women who started talking about how sort of the diverging roles of men and women in painting, and how women were usually pictured and painted in more like domestic settings, while men got to, you know, be in their militias and whatever. There was a group of kids who were just talking about like, oh, that dog up front's real ugly. Like, why'd they paint the dog so ugly? There's a group of Japanese businessmen who were like, if this was painted today, or I'm surprised that they haven't done this, but they should like recreate the room and make it accessible for tourists. And this is a way to make money. And if this was in Japan, they would have made like the Night's Watch, like buns or something. Like, really interesting, because you know it in the back of your head, but just to see what people talked about and what they focused on. And I promise I'm tying this back to fashion right now, but fashion as a whole is also subjective, right? Like, Michael and I are both fashion guys, and, you know, Michael wears an outfit, I wear an outfit, we walk out on the street and we feel any sort of way and we feel whatever about it. But I do think it is a not to sound pompous, but a form of art and a form of self-expression that is subjective. And, you know, you have different groups of people who see fashion in very different ways. And I think that it is important to remember that when you think about fashion as a broader context and the direction of fashion and where it's going. I think some people see fashion as purely commercial, which is fine.
Yep.
Purely just like a way to, you know, for lack of a better term, get money. People see fashion as a method of art and self-expression. Other people just see it as like, they're just clothes. That's all they need to be. Doesn't need to be art. Doesn't even need to necessarily be commercial. They serve a purely utilitarian purpose. And again, like, the work of art, I think, was pretty successful in getting me to think about not only art in general, but the role of, I guess, capital A art in fashion, and getting me to think a little bit outside of my own method of thinking. Because again, like, fashion is a pretty diverse hobby, just in terms of like racially, age-wise, things like that. And while it may not differ that radically in that respect, right? Like, you know, a group of white guys are going to have a different opinion than a group of, you know, Latin guys, whatever it is. My point is being, there are probably different subsets of people, even within the fashion sphere, that have radically diverging opinions and viewpoints of what fashion should be. And I do think that that is part of the reason why fashion is going in the way that it is right now. And, you know, I can bitch and moan, People should
do more.
What
do you mean by in the way that it is right now?
Like, I can bitch and moan and say, you know, people should make weirder stuff. It's it's more widely accepted. You know, people dress really, you know, the way that they want. People are dressing better. I think designers can probably take more risks, but that's me talking from my own perspective.
I think designers can take a lot less risks than we think they can.
But that's also what I'm saying. Like, they still have to make money, right? Yeah. And they again, like, I think a lot of designers fall short because they think, I'm only going to make cool shit. And I just want, you know, everything has to fit into this one vision and this one ethos and whatever it is. And again, for all the dubbing I give Fear of God, also the guy behind it fucking sucks. They've done an incredible job of making sure that their, like, essentials hoodies fund the cool shit that they do on the runway.
And that's true of, like, a lot of brands. Like, like... You make fun of funny heart shoes all you want, but play and especially play Converse are the reason that you get that weird like
bulbous dress,
double toed shoes from CDG and stuff like that. Dark Shadow Ramones have paid for like all of the fucked up like Rick runways. Trax and Triple S are funding like Balenciaga Couture and shit like that. Even still. A lot of those larger, it happens with a lot of the larger fashion houses that are not directly under the control of their creative director.
Yeah.
Where shit gets nuked. Like a lot of the stuff between, I see this a lot with Balenciaga, a lot of the stuff between runway and release.
Dies on like the cutting room floor.
Just gets like, it either doesn't get made because not enough people show interest or they completely fucking like nerf the part of it that's interesting.
Yeah.
That happened with like the Mud show, the like.
Oh, really?
The really like fucked up, muddy, distressed jeans.
I thought honestly those would have played well because like, you know, golden gooses are popular.
A lot of people, it's just like, it's not them. It's like what like.
Yeah.
It's what like. People with like
a WGSN, little...
what
the trend forecasting software WGSN?
Oh no, not even that. It's like what the people at like buyers and people at Balenciaga think will sell, and so stuff like the steroid boots got like shrank in size a lot.
Yeah, did they ever release the steroid derbies?
Yeah,
okay,
they released both of them.
Okay,
and then I think they're like continuing to make. I don't know. They do this shit where like. Something sells out once and they're like, oh, this is great. We should make it again. But then now it's like they just make it and there's way too much of it. And no
do
one's
you have an example of that?
Steroid boots were like that.
Really? They haven't been. I guess that makes sense.
They did crazy good. And then I'm pretty sure they just sit now. Like they made everybody more and more iterations of them. And like, people have already got them.
Yeah.
Works for me because
that happened with
when it goes cheap, I'll buy it.
The Master boots, right? Those like super. I don't know
Master
if those
boots
are the ones.
Have sold. Well,
those were on sale for a long time on flannels, I think it was. I mean, those got down to like $300.
$300.
I think it is interesting. And again, like you and I can talk about the artistry or the, you know, the creative side of it as much as we'd like. But I think we do need to realize that a lot of these fashion companies and brands are owned by like private equity firms or privately held. Yeah. And at the end of the day, they're there to make money. They don't give a fuck. I mean, they care a little bit about the artistry behind it, but they're there to make a bag, right?
Like, yeah, like if it's like the most beautiful piece of art you've ever seen, but the average consumer will not buy it, it's probably not gonna make it past special order.
Yeah,
that's a lot of the reason that like Alessandro was like
gone at Gucci
because like everything he's making is beautiful, but it's not like stuff people want to walk into the store and buy. Yeah.
I mean, the other part of this as well is like fashion sometimes is, and designers as well are very, I mean, they have egos and they don't want their work to be summed up as like, yeah, you're the, you know, the logo t-shirt guy and the basic jeans guy.
Yeah.
Right. And I've talked to Jose about this at dinner quite a bit. And I won't call out names, but there are designers who you need to do it. Like, I hate to say it like this, but if you really want to make the cool shit that you're doing on the runway and that's getting applauded, need to put out the fucking graphic t-shirts. You need to do, you know, things that you could walk, or I hate saying gen pop. It sounds so derogatory. Like a non-fashion fashion person could walk into a Nordstrom or a Saks Fifth or even just a store and be like, yeah, I'd wear that. Like, you know, you need like the intro piece. You need the gateway drugs, right?
Yeah.
You can't start with the hardcore shit. I don't know. I think a lot of designers are going to die on that hill, literally. And it's sad to see. And I hope they don't. I hope somebody's like, guys, you got to do the graphic tees.
You
got to
make something silly. You got to make the
$50 graphic tee. Sorry. You know. Yeah.
I guess.
Hi, Lee.
Not my first like bit of Alessandro Gucci, but my first like, because I have a.
Is that what's in that box?
Yeah. Well, it's on the shelf now, but I got. Because I have like one of the Donald Duck Gucci t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of Alessandro.
I don't know if it was Donald Duck. I used to have one of the shirts.
Just now, I got these real like fucking Mickey Mouse looking boots.
Go grab them. Let's show them on the podcast. I'll hold your mic. We're double miking it. Oh, shit. Wait, I wonder if I can do spatial audio. Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, wait, maybe I can make it a little bit more bassy if I put this near my throat. Ooh. Wait, I don't know. I don't know if this is. I'm gonna leave this in. Those are really cool. Wait, yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, no, they're crazy cool. They're like. I normally hate wingtip boots.
No, they look
like
great.
Dressy boots. Yeah. But they're like a combat sole wingtip boot with a real like fat toe box.
I don't know why. Is it just me or does the sole look it weird but in a good way?
Yeah, it's super. It's really flared out. Like it's really wide. It's like much wider than the shoe.
You know, you got a crimp there. You could crimp. You could rock climb on those babies.
And then it's got these.
I really like the laces. So, yeah. I mean, we'll also probably have to take B-roll of this, but the laces are like woven in a pattern. These are nice boots.
They're beautiful. They're really good.
You mind if I have a sniff, King?
Yeah, take a sniff.
Oh, they smell like new. I love that smell. God, dude.
By the way, I bought these secondhand from some guy. No, I got them fresh.
I end up with a sinus infection tomorrow.
I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna wear them with. Like I'm gonna wear them with like
your Tom suit. I mean, like that's the layup, right? I mean,
but also I have Tom shoes for that. Yeah. I'm gonna wear them with a lot of pants that cover most of it.
Still see the wingtip. I feel like you shouldn't cover those laces. I think that's the problem. Like the
I don't have
detail.
A lot of shit that.
Oh, you have those cropped Balenciaga dress pants, don't you?
No cropped dress pants.
Don't shoe? Don't shoe?
No, don't shoe.
Okay.
I got a pair of DO2s.
Oh my, I'm so proud of you. Why did you get those?
Because my friend stumbled upon my friend went to like a sale and stumbled upon a shitload of them.
Did you get them for, I'm guessing like $60 at this point? I mean, they've got to be cheap. 50? $5? Jesus Christ. Those $5 DO2s is crazy. Which ones are they? The crash ones?
What does that mean?
They made one fucked up pair. These were like my grail. I got them and then never wore them.
They're from 2020. They're just black denim.
Editor, throw the crash DO2s up in front of me.
Hey, Google, let me see this guy's balls.
Honest, oh god, the first one is from Justin Reed.
No, they're plain black.
They were like this, but just like eviscerated, and they're so skinny.
Those are cool. I'll put them on later.
I kind of want DO2s again. I'm not gonna lie. I don't think that.
Don't go down that path, Saul. we're not going back to skinny jeans. I tried them
I found a pair of my, I think they're my Studio d'Artisan gold, like the 50th anniversary or 40th anniversary ones. I found those at my grandparents and I was like, there's no way these fit. And they do fit. Those are skinny.
Skinny.
Also, I'm skinny now. I have another pair of like raw selvedge denim. Which ones are they? They are, I don't know if they're PBJs. I'll have to go and look at them next time at my grandparents. I can't get those on right now. And I don't know how I was wearing them before. Cause like I, you know, haven't been this skinny for a little while. And I just don't know how, like maybe my legs have just grown in terms of musculature, but like I just don't know how I was getting them on.
I feel that way about my like Pure Blue Japans, the award-winning ones.
They're really skinny?
They feel like, cause they're not like a skinny cut, but they're a size 28 and they shrank. They're a size 28, like an unsanforized size 28.
Could you soak them again and then do the
It's not even that. It's that they feel too small for my skeleton. Like they are like pushing up against my hip bones.
Yeah, but that's like the salvaged denim experience, right? Like no, you put like, them on the first time, you're like, what? Why does anybody wear these?
They're so worn in. They're so broken in.
Yeah.
They have gotten, I don't know if I've just gotten marginally bigger, but they're not wearable anymore in a way that they like used to be. I like started to rip the pockets off.
Damn.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I don't know how, like, I guess I've gotten like just the half inch bigger required to make them not fit anymore.
Okay. I'll show you a half inch. Anyway, DO2s are crazy. I kind of want a pair for old time's sake. I had such a cool pair. I patched all the holes with bandanas because I was insecure about my legs, which was crazy because they were so skinny. Anyway, oh, I kind of want them back.
I'm never gonna wear the pair that I have, but it's very
funny. Can you? No, I think you should. First of all, wear the smallest possible bottom and then the biggest possible top.
Yeah, I mean, I'll do it, but it'll look so bad. Yeah,
you got to look like a lollipop. You know that episode of SpongeBob, the Fry Cook Games?
No.
Oh, man. Let me show you the Fry Cook Games. There's when SpongeBob, they're doing like dives off a diving board and SpongeBob turns himself into a popsicle. You'd look like that. Editor, throw up Fry Cook Games, SpongeBob dive, please. Popsicle. I hope it shows up.
That kind of looks like the Fortnite Battle Pass.
Yo, that looks like Lazy Links. That's what you look like. Hold on. That's what you look like. Oh, yeah,
no, that is what I'd look like.
Yeah.
That's
that
sick.
Was season two. Dude, Fry Cook Game is a good episode. That's us. We're literally them.
We're literally them.
Anyway, you're in retrospective, so you like the way fashion's going.
Yep.
I don't want to talk about trends because they come and go so quickly, but I do feel like we're sort of exiting, or we've been spat out of the other side of like, you need a new trend every week. Or maybe we just don't engage with it, which is also a different issue or thing. I mean, you want to talk on trends a little bit?
Yeah.
Is it even like, worth talking about?
What's the current thing?
Quiet outdoors.
But like that's manufactured. I guess it's all manufactured. But
it's
like,
all manufactured.
The talking about quiet outdoors, it's going to become a thing because of people talking about how it shouldn't be a thing. Which is what so many things have become.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if you just like create a phrase
that
makes
bait.
People mad.
Yeah,
it cycles through until people start using it.
Unironically,
that's what GorpCore was.
Yeah,
I feel like GorpCore was like something someone said sort of in passing that like made they're like you're not gonna make GorpCore a thing, and they said it so many times that
well,
GorpCore
I mean,
became
the fucking
a thing.
Joke was wearing your fucking Arc'teryx in the shower, and now it's a real thing. It's not just what was the song. Oh, the Arc'teryx on me, I know better. I fucking hate that song. It's so
I don't
bad.
Know that song.
Yes, you do.
It's yes, fine. You do. Don't want to play. You can show me it later.
No, no. I'll play it right now. I'll make you listen to it. I'll make everybody on this pod.
We'll get cease and desisted.
Not if I do it for less than 10 seconds. Oh, please go faster. That was 9 seconds. That was 9 seconds.
Hey, YouTube, that was 9 seconds. You can't copyright strike us. I don't know.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Yannick, you got to delete that for the YouTube. I'm sorry. Sorry, buddy. Anyway, I don't know. I feel like, thank God, but we haven't gotten that same trend again. I'm going to make it with the triple sock. I need a rapper to make a dumb song about socks.
Three socks on me.
Three socks on me.
You know I'm stacked. That's also like... that's like too hyper specific of a thing to make into a trend.
You could have said that about Gore-Tex jackets.
No. Gore-Tex jackets are a third of your outfit. Socks, rarely seen, make up about an eighth of your outfit.
If you know, you know, bro. I'm wearing boot cut.
Oh my God. Is that Saul Thompson of Pair of Kings podcast?
The triple
is
sock
he sock stacking?
Sock stacking. Just wait until I start busting out the sock stack fits, and the fit pick. I'm just gonna be like, ooh, like that, like a little, right? He's sock stacking, bro.
Shit.
How many socks do you own?
It's too many.
So why aren't you stacking? Why are you only wearing one pair at a time?
Because it's uncomfy as fuck.
No, it's not. It's actually quite comfortable. I have to say, it's one thing if your shoes are tight. Don't do it in that respect, or do it. That looks sick. Also, maybe you get a pair of socks that has one, you know, it's one sock lower, but you get like eight sock uppers stacked up. It's like the seven layer.
Yeah, you just like sew the...
Yeah. See, I'm on to something. People haven't thought... When it's August in the summer and people are pulling out the jort and sock stack combo, come back to me and be like, yo, you were right. You're going to shit on me. I'm going to fucking rage bait the shit out of people for months. And then it's going to catch on and you're all going to be sorry.
When it's August and no one's wearing a sock stack combo, you haven't seen a single sock stack combo except for some bullshit Saul posted. And you can come to me and say that I'm right.
No, but if it doesn't catch on, I'll be like, no, just wait. It's going to blow up.
It's not going to blow up.
Yes, it will. I'm going to make it blow up. I'm going to pay people to do it.
I'm sleeve maxing. That's what I'm doing. I'm stacking sleeves. You see that
shit?
Yeah,
you did. You brought up the emo sleeve.
Yeah, I always I like having like four different layers of sleeve.
How much stacking can we do in an outfit?
A lot.
See how it defeats Leo? He's got so no. And the second I take it off, he's gonna go get
the Zoomies. Outfit with the like the cuffed pants and the cuffed top of the pants and the cuffed sleeves and the cuffed hat, and it's like he'll cuff anything but
cuff
you.
That is crazy, yo. Yo, Michael keeps the sleeves like he keeps the ladies, three cuffs at a time, but no real commitment to any one of the three.
We almost had it. That was almost a bit, and then it went missing. Somewhere in there, there's something.
I'm trying to think. I mean, what other trends were there this year? I'm sort of glad that there's not one.
Things come and go so fast. Yeah. Okay, 2024.
Ooh, are we doing trend forecasting?
Yeah. 2024.
Cod pieces.
Tudorian ruffs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Honestly, a frilled collar. Somebody was wearing one at some event that I was at, and it was like a...
In like a Seinfeld kind of way?
I hope
the ruffled shirt.
Yeah, I hope that nothing is in a Seinfeld way, Mr. 1738.
17.
And now he's going... I'm not going to make this political. I don't like Jerry Seinfeld. Shout out Larry David, though. He's sick. Fuck, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, no. Somebody was wearing like a ruffled collar underneath kind of like a destroyed knit. And I was like, oh, that's really fucking cool. I like that. Maybe we're going back to the Victorian era. So I think this is my logic, right? We're at Coquette right now. They're putting bows on everything.
Yeah.
Because it's cutesy. We're going to go back farther to like the Victorian era where like being kind of pale and sickly is the next step. And with that, complementary to the women's side, which is going to be a lot of frills and a lot of bows and a lot of like twill, we're going to get the guy side, which
what's twill?
It's a fabric.
Not twill?
Is it twill? No.
T-W-I-L-L?
No, T-U-I-L-E.
Oh, tool?
I think it's twill. Fuck, do I really... Oh, those are also food. Hold on. Why did they open the app store? Clothing... This is tweel. Nope. Editor, throw tweel up. That's tweel.
It's tool. It's T-U-L-L-E, my dad.
I thought it was T-U-I-L-E.
No, dog.
Oh, it's tool. I'm a fucking doofus. Yeah.
Doofed up, bro.
Yeah, I'm doofed up. That's fine.
See, this guy, he has a fashion podcast, by the way.
Yo.
I don't know if you guys knew this.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we'll see a return to like Victorian style. And I think for the men, we're gonna see some fucking high-waisted britches
tucked into socks, and then the socks go down,
sock stack,
and you got the.
I'm so locked in. Anyway, we're gonna see cod pieces. We're gonna see leather vests. We're gonna see weird fucking hats. We're gonna see ruffled sleeves.
We're gonna see ascots under button-up shirts.
I have an ascot. It's not exactly an ascot, but I can make it an ascot.
You can, never mind.
Wait, no, make that joke. Where were you going?
I don't know. Something about ascot. I can make that ascot.
Oh.
Yo. Sign me up. I do think actually on like a more serious note, I think that the like flip-flopping, the Balenciaga kids are going to go back to Rick. I think
again, Playboi Carti is probably going to come out with an album in the next year. Probably not, actually. I think it'd be really funny if he just kept pushing it off. It depends on what he wears, and I'm not kidding.
Yeah, no, it truly. I think we're ready for the next like new brand people are kind of nuts about.
But it has to have some sort of like continuation behind it.
Right.
Because it's never been like a small brand that's blown up and then taken over for a significant amount of time.
I kind of think there's going to be a lot of Anonymous Club. I think that one's on its way up.
Anonymous Club.
Shane Oliver's label.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But do you think we're going to go back to like HBA?
No, because it's not quite like that. It's a little more like of the current moment.
But I mean, some of that old HBA is really cool.
So no, I really like a lot of the...
Who wears a lot of old HBA? Is it... Jake John Howard has some of it.
Kendrick.
Oh, Kendrick does. Yeah, you're right.
Kendrick has a good amount of it. And like his little crew, but I think you mostly see him.
Crew. Before I take us out. And that sounds so sinister. Before I take us out.
Take me out.
Any lasting thoughts? Anything you want to impart on the listeners and viewers before we get out of here for the new year? The screw beer.
Screw what?
I don't know. I'm rhyming.
No, my brain is empty. My brain is devoid of thoughts.
If we ever get big enough to where we could throw a party, I think we have to do a power hour.
Yeah, so, the largest power hour in human history.
Yargest. Yeah, the Yargest fashion power hour. That'd be kind of fun, honestly.
Saul and I...
Such a stupid thing.
Saul and I played Wizard Staffs the other night, which I don't drink that much.
Neither do I.
And we played Wizard Staffs. We did a two-hour power hour.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
It was really fun.
But it was great. It was really fun. But like...
Shirts came off.
I'm so glad that's probably something I'm only ever going to do like once a year.
I died as a small Victorian child. I'm going to send that photo to Yannick. Yannick, please crop it so you can't see the whole thing. Just put my face in because people will understand what I was... Actually, do I want that on the internet? If it's just my face, that's fine. I just look sleepy as hell.
Small Victorian child.
Yeah. That's why Coquette's coming back, because of me in that photo.
I don't know. I feel like... I don't know, man. I feel good.
Actually, no. I'm not gonna put that on the internet. Okay. It's just funny.
I feel good about clothing. I feel good about fashion. I think I'm seeing a lot
of
cool stuff.
I'm so excited. Genuinely, there's so much cool stuff happening.
Yeah,
it's really like, again, I think that
COVID, 2024 is gonna be our year for real.
Yo, we're up next. No, fashion was, I wouldn't say in a bad place, but figuring itself out as like COVID reshuffled. And I think a lot of people got really excited about certain things that didn't end up panning out in the slightest.
Yeah.
God, we got so excited over the dumbest shit. You remember how popular cowboy cut Wrangler Ranchers were?
Yeah.
You still wearing those?
No, give them away.
Yeah. Right?
I had one. I had a pair. So I had a pair that I wore once. I do still think that Wrangler Ranchers are like, every time someone who's not a like fashion like piece of shit comes to me and like asks about pants recommendations, that's one of my first.
The Dangler Ranchers?
Yeah, the Dangler Ranchers. Mm. Because they're affordable and they're like a really like good cut for like the current style of like, like cool without being overtly fashion clothes.
I still really want to do a podcast. Just get like random tangential friend. And I could do this. And just talk to them and not in a judgmental way, just genuinely like, where do you buy your clothes? What do you find interesting? Where are you looking?
I think the thing is that if we do that, we have to do a lot of people because it's so varied.
Yeah. I also don't want to be the guys like sitting on the street like, hey, you want to come talk on my fashion podcast? Like,
yeah, we're not doing that. The only reason I got rid of the Wrangler Ranchers, I wore them once. Really liked. No, I wore them a couple times. I gave in and bought Capital Okabelbos.
Oh yeah, I remember.
So I fulfilled my like black flared pant, and I don't need that many pairs of clothing, so I just gave them to a friend.
Mm. I really like, again, like Self Edge, cool store. They stock a lot of great stuff. I don't know why I said that in a way that made it sound like I wasn't going to compliment them. those overdyed black pants that they've got, those like really, I don't know the brand off the top of my head, but they have these pair of jeans that are like,
I love really that podcast.
What?
What? I love that podcast.
What podcast?
A pair of jeans.
Jesus Christ. Fuck off. that are, I mean, they're like really dark black dyed. And I feel like they won't wash out. That's, I mean, that's what
there's
they claim.
A lot of, oh, the iron, there's like Ironheart.
Is it Ironheart?
There's Ironheart raw jeans that are made specifically not to fade.
That's them. Yeah. That's cool.
Bullshit.
Me doing everything. I'm taking like a Dremel to them at every
they're not fading. they're there.
I'm there just with a rag on the subway, just rubbing at my jeans. Yo, I'm rubbing on my yellow leg.
I'm rubbing on my yellow leg. I need to decide before I wear these too much if I'm going to like soak them or just let them be.
Well, shit, you're Mormon now?
It doesn't count. It doesn't count as a wash if you just soak them.
If you shake the tub.
Yeah, if you just
if I shake the tub for you.
Yeah, I just put my jeans in and shake the tub. It doesn't count. That's just soaking. Yeah, need to decide. What you do is you put a sheet on top of the bathtub, and okay, then you put the jeans through the on top of the sheet.
Well,
so
I've heard
it's not,
if you put them on backwards, it's fine. Because if you go on through the back, it doesn't count.
Yeah, yeah. If you turn them inside out. Yeah.
Can you wear those inside out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's really... My fly is like wildly open. If you turn them inside out, it's interesting because it's like the exact opposite. Same.
That's fucking with my head for some reason. It's like a perfect inverse, but my brain doesn't calculate it as the inverse. That's crazy. Yeah.
They're cool as hell.
The same jeans, essentially.
It's the same jeans.
I thought that the amount of negative and positive space would vary differently.
I love Cosaburro so much.
Cosaburro's great.
I think that they had my favorite show of this season. I think that like they're one of the first, like,
you know what I remember the most from that show?
What?
Those drums were fucking loud.
Yeah.
I remember they had drummed like two, I think it was two live drummers, and they were going crazy.
They were going nuts on that shit.
It's loud. Like, it's loud in here.
He did some of my, like, my favorite, like, I really liked the runway, and then, don't make fun of me. And then a lot of, like, I don't know, I always see pieces from Cosaburro that I'm like, that's so fucking cool. And I'm really excited that I finally actually own one of the things I've been yelling about for like a year or two.
I'm happy to see them still sticking around since 16. Like, again, a lot of really cool fashion brands come and go. And it's good to see that, I think on some level, and I don't know the intricacies of their business model, but it's nice to see that they figured out a way to continue and maintain while making really cool and interesting stuff that's not necessarily going to appeal to everybody.
Mm-hmm. They had this like denim suit.
Oh yeah.
I
thought it was a wool suit, and I was like, that cut looks a little bit weird. It looks really stiff. But it was denim.
It's like a really heavy denim, and the seams are like outward. So not every seam, but a lot of the seams are outward with like frayed denim.
Yeah.
And then they paint it. So there's like these like frayed lines of painted denim, sort of not
it's not contrast,
on every
though,
seam. No, it was. I'll show you a picture. Not on every seam, but like, you know, they do that kind of like disconnected seam where like one seam goes up and then it's like the like sort of one piece construction.
One piece reference.
One piece reference.
Editor, put one piece here.
And it's just like, it's so beautiful. I really wanted that, but I'm not balling like that, even at a sample sale.
I mean, the price of the sample sale were still pricey.
Yeah, but it's with like, we just have Balenciaga friends and family sale brain. I feel like that is like a reasonable price for things.
Yeah, of course. But I don't want reasonable. I want to feel
want
like I'm getting one up.
No, I want unreasonable prices from like big ass companies that I don't give a shit about. I really truly do not mind paying.
Neither do I.
Like the
smaller designers?
The smaller designer, and like the,
of course,
the like, I want brands to send me free shit unless they're my friends, and then I want to pay them.
Correct. Yeah, I agree.
Like, I think that that's like, you know, they deserve that, you know?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I'm always down to spend some money on a brand that I think is cool. Again, I've been plugging for a long time. Everybody go get cardigans from Rib for Your Pleasure. She's so nice. She's so cool. You should make custom cardigan for Fiona. That'd be really cute.
Well, she listens to that podcast, bro.
Oh shit, I forgot.
We do plan on having we're gonna talk to Kozaburo about coming on the podcast. Yeah. So look out for that. The next season we got some good plans. Big things coming. Yo, watch this space.
Watch this space. Anyway.
This space.
Thank you so much to everybody for joining, watching, listening, whatever it is, the Pair of Kings podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Pair of Kings Pod. I believe YouTube is Pair of Kings Podcast. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. As always, everybody, I am your
Song of the Week.
Oh, fuck. Good call. Song of the Week.
No More I Love Yous, Annie Lennox. Slap that shit up there.
No More I Love
Yous. No More I Love Yous. You know that song.
Which one is that?
Dip-a-dip-a-dip-dip-dip. Ah! Yeah, you know that song. Yeah. You just don't know that you know it.
Yeah. Shawty, I'm going to tell you one time. You're the realest. Back door. Wait, is this the Ocho? Oh no, it's Pair of Canines.
Pair of Canines.
My song is thanks to Fortnite Festival. It is Suddenly I See by Casey Tunstall.
What a good fucking ending.
Dude.
To the season.
The last song from Fortnite fucking Festival. Because it's the only, I don't want to spend the money on like all the weekend songs that I really like. Because those are all in the store. So I just play the free ones. Suddenly I See, I played Gangnam Style yesterday. They had The Hand That Feeds by Nine Inch Nails. They got some good songs.
Are you just going on Fortnite and doing anything except Fortnite these days?
No, because I've been playing Fortnite with friends. I played a couple of games with John. I played with our friend Dom. And a squad of four had like a 32-kill squad win, which 100 people minus four. So we had 32 of 96 people killed on the server in that game. I mean, that's you know.
This means almost nothing to me.
We cleaned up.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
But...
Thank you so much to everybody for joining the Pair of Kings podcast. I'm your host, Saul Thompson. You can find me on Instagram at Saul Thompson. Put that there out of there. I need more engagement. Everybody. Oh, actually, I had a post because now they're doing insights, even if you're not a business account. And that one, like when we were at the shooting range, that outfit had a bunch of reach outside of my own followers, but a lot of people saved it for some reason.
Hmm.
Yeah, people send my posts. And I don't know why.
Blonde Saul.
Yo, I... Yeah, the buzz around Blonde Saul was kind of crazy. And I'm worried to do it with short hair because then I just become Stan.
You're fine. Do it.
Okay. But you're going to make fun of me for looking like Eminem.
I'm going to make fun of you no matter what.
Yeah, that's true. You can find me on Instagram at Saul Thompson. I'm joined this week and into perpetuity by my wonderful co-host.
I'm Michael Smith. You can find me on Instagram at @_smithstagram. I am now officially a Pair of Kings host.
Nice. And this has been the Pair of Kings podcast. Thank you so much to everybody for joining us for season 9. We'll see you back in January with season 10. Don't forget to listen. Turn on those post notifications if you'd like to be notified when we're coming back. And we're also going to switch to a different day for releasing. I think we'll probably release on Tuesdays or Mondays. Just a little bit earlier in the week for everybody. You know, everybody's starting their week. Why is it so quiet?
The heater just turned off.
Oh, fuck. Okay, sorry. Headphones just got really quiet. I thought something broke. Thank you so much to everybody for joining us. We'll see you next season. We hope you have a wonderful Christmas, a magical new year, and we'll see you very soon.
You wishing people a wonderful Christmas? You're Jewish, dude.
What, you think I'm a Grinch? Yeah, go fuck yourself. No, I hate Christmas.
What about Hanukkah?
Hanukkah passed, bro.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
That's all. I was just wondering.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Jewish, so I have to hate Christmas.
No, just like...
Yep. Michael thinks I'm just a really angry Jew, right? Because of Larry David, we're all salty and evil all the time. We're all just shitting on everything. That's what you think of us?
This is how I wanted to end the podcast. Now that was season 9. Truckin' right, I heard a dark voice inside of me, and I look round in a state of fright. I saw four faces in one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other.